God bless you, sir.
And happy birthday.
Well, it's a delight to be here with you this morning. I can't tell you, but we've heard so much over the years, not only about this church, but about your pastor, Dr. Carter, and the work here, the college, the Christian school. And it's also been our privilege to know Dr. and Mrs. Earl Lee for a number of years. And so we feel like, although we've never been here until this morning, we have a little bit of a connection with you folks. And I'll say this to begin with, as our first time down in the Orlando area in this part of Florida, it takes some adjustment to get used to. Not only the fact you talk a little differently than we do, but also just the geography, the way things are laid out. I have learned, I've always been taught that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. But I found that that does not work here, all right? you got to go around lakes and swamps and this and that, and we're figuring it out with the help of the GPS, and we got here this morning, so I think we're doing pretty good. And of course, the humidity, we're not used to that. We'll get maybe a week or two of really hot weather up there in Canada during the summer, and we'll get some humidity that's maybe similar to this, but it doesn't hang around. And so, but we're so thankful to be here. Again, I'll just mention a few things in introduction. Got about 30 minutes here. What I really want to accomplish is maybe just share a little bit about myself and our ministry in Canada, and reminisce with you about the life of Dr. and Mrs. Hiltz and what their example means to all of us, and then share with you a few thoughts from what I believe is one of Brother Hiltz's favorite psalms, Psalm 100. Many times we'd gather at a meeting, mission board meeting, or missions conference, or another pastor's meeting, and if Brother Hiltz had anything to do with it, and he could select a scripture reading, Psalm 100 was often the psalm that he chose. So if you can open your Bibles just ahead to that, and we'll maybe read the psalm, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll just share a few thoughts with you. So that's Psalm 100. And the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's unite our hearts together in prayer, shall we? Lord, we are so thankful for this day. Thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for your mercy and your long-suffering. We thank you for your grace exhibited to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his life for us on Calvary. We thank you for that salvation. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this place of worship today, a place where we can serve you and acknowledge you and express our dependence upon you together. We thank you for the dear folks of Landmark Baptist Church and their pastor, Dr. Mickey Carter, and his wife, and we pray your blessing on them and the ministry here. And we thank you for this time together, and Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts and help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. As you already know, I'm from Canada, and strangely enough, you may not think this by the way that I speak, but in our church, more people think that I'm American-born than my wife. Now, my wife was born in Illinois. I was born out west in British Columbia, near Vancouver, British Columbia. So I'm the Canadian, she's the American. But people often come to me, "You're American, aren't you?" "No, my wife is." They think she's Canadian. She's so quiet and reserved, and I guess I'm the noisy one, and they think, well, he's an American. I don't know what that has to do with it. But anyway, we have loved. It's been our privilege to serve the Lord in Canada. I've been a pastor, been in pastoral ministry now since 1988. So you add that up, that's 25 years this year. And of course, we started our ministry out in British Columbia and then moved to Ontario in 1995. And it's about that time that I met Dr. Bill Hiltz. Now, Dr. Hiltz, I understand, was here at Landmark for approximately 5 years. But obviously, he left a big footprint when he was here. And he left a good godly testimony and influence, and I know that he's loved here, both he and Sister Joan. But I have to tell you this story about the time that, the first two or three times that I met Brother Hiltz. Brother Hiltz, for some reason, he couldn't quite remember my name. And I met him once, "Hey, Brother Hiltz," introduced myself, "I'm Brian Thiessen," and explained what I was doing and where I was involved in ministry, and I met him a second time, and finally a third time, and he greeted me, and he said, "Brother, it's good to see you, brother," and he could tell he was struggling. He wanted to spit the name out. And Brother Hiltz had been with Baptist Mission to Forgotten Peoples for many years. I said, "Brother Hiltz, I'm one of your forgotten people." And you know, he never forgot my name again after that. And little did I know at that time that I would end up being Brother Hiltz's pastor for 12 years. I never anticipated that is something the Lord would do in his life and in ours. But nonetheless, in December of 1996, while I was serving as an associate pastor at Bethel Baptist Church in Simcoe, Ontario, Brother Hiltz met me at coffee time. He said, "Brother Thiessen, I'd like to just have a word with you if I could." I said, "Sure, Brother Hiltz." He said, "Listen, I'd like you to pray about starting a church in Mississauga." Now, Mississauga is probably the largest so-called suburb of any metropolitan area almost in North America. Mississauga alone is approaching 800,000 in population today. The entirety of Peel region, which sits on the west side of Toronto, is now right around 1.3 to 1.4 million people. At the time, there were no independent Baptist churches in Mississauga. He said, "Brother Thiessen, I'd like you to pray about that." Well, I felt content where we were. I didn't feel that maybe I needed to be looking for another ministry and another opportunity. But what do you say to a gentleman and one who you esteem their faith and their walk with God as I did with Brother Hiltz? I said, "Sure, Brother Hiltz, I'll pray about it." Thinking in my mind, no, there's not a chance. I'm happy where I am. But nonetheless, the long and the short of it is, after 3 weeks of prayer about it, I knew in my heart that that's where God wanted me to go. And so we made our way to Mississauga, and in the fall of 1997, we planted the Mississauga International Baptist Church. And we had a team of four families at the time, the Hiltzes and our family, which has grown a little bit since then. We only had two children. Three when we started the church, and so we doubled. And the Hiltzes, Brother Stan Camps and his wife Brenda and their family, who are now missionaries in the Netherlands, were with us, and Pastor Bruce Cook, his wife Donna, and their family, who are now serving in another church there in Canada. So we started with 13 individuals. Our very first meeting, our charter signing service, was on the 8th floor apartment of Brother and Mrs. Hiltz. And we signed that charter back there in the fall of 1997. And I won't tell you all the story. There's so many stories through the years, but God has blessed Mississauga International Baptist Church. Today, our average Sunday morning attendance is just shy of 200, and we probably have a church constituency of close to 300. And God has blessed us with property. Now, it's strange the way that all worked, but when Brother Hiltz first approached me about starting the church, he knew of some property that might be available for church. It was 2 acres. There was a previous church, I believe it was a brethren group, they had folded, and they were wanting to donate the property to a gospel preaching endeavor. And so along with Brother Hiltz, and I believe Dr. Gene Burge from the mission board, a couple of other pastors locally, we went down, we looked at the property, we spoke to the individuals that were involved in that, we made a proposal, and then I remember the night so well. We drove down to the property, and there was a rock that was probably almost the size of this pulpit, maybe a little shorter, but a little longer, but the size of this pulpit, big old rock in the middle of that property. And I and those other, I believe, 4 or 5 men, we stood around that rock. Brother Hiltz was there. We held hands, and we prayed around that rock. And we said, Lord, give us this property. And you know, if you know anything about Brother Hiltz, you know he's a man of prayer. Amen. And you know, we prayed about that property, but within about 6 weeks, they'd given the property to someone else. And the Lord had worked in my heart by that point to where I said, you know, Lord, I just make the decision. I'm going to Mississauga whether there's property or not. You haven't called us to a property. You've called us to a people. And so we went. And interestingly enough, the church that had been given the property back in 1997, by the time 2005, 2006 rolled around, they had struggled. They had had some serious issues in the church. They had sold that property, reinvested some of the money in another property, but they had dwindled down to about 15 folks. They didn't have a pastor. And out of the blue, they approached us and said, you know what? Maybe we can get together in some fashion. We have something you don't have. We have property. You have something we don't have, and that's a pastor. And long story short, in 2006, they joined our church. We received the property. We bought an additional neighboring piece of property. And wouldn't you know it, you know, that rock, we prayed around, asked God to give us that property. He did, in a roundabout way. Now, it was about 10 years later, but the Lord gave it to us. And we've been endeavoring for the last several years to build our first church auditorium there, a church facility there on that property. But God has had other things. The city has been stubborn with us, I guess for lack of a better term, and they've had some issues with what we want to do, till finally we realized, you know what, maybe we need to look at selling that property and getting something else. We had 2 acres. Now, 2 acres in Mississauga, when we purchased the land, had a value of $1.4 million just for 2 acres. And we were going to do everything we could with it. We wanted to be faithful there. And in the spring of this year, we sold the property for $2.8 million. And we are making plans now to purchase a 4-acre piece of property and build even a nicer auditorium, that'll seat between 400 and 500 people on that property. But the reason I'm sharing all of that with you is that you had a part in that through Brother Hiltz. And Brother Hiltz, to me, you know, if you ask me today, well, Brother Thiessen, what does Brother Hiltz mean to you? Well, he was a mentor to me. He was a great example of faith, a great example in prayer. Around our church, we like to refer to Brother Hiltz's style of praying as the drive-by praying. And what I mean by that is that if he'd catch anyone on the way out from church, or they would express a need to him, Brother Hiltz was always there, and he'd get his arm right around you. I mean, you had nowhere to go. You had no out. He just put his arm gently around you and said, let's pray about that. Let's pray right now. And that was the drive-by praying. Brother Hiltz taught me a lot about that. And his prayer, really, and his example of faith, that endures even today. Now, Brother Hiltz and his dear wife were our church members. And Brother Hiltz often would refer to me and say, this is my pastor. He'd introduce me, this is my pastor. You know, in reality, I felt the other way around. I felt like Brother Hiltz was my pastor. And a pastor needs a pastor. And Brother Hiltz was mine throughout all those years. There's so many other great stories I could tell you, and I really don't have time for all of them. I'll weave a few into some thoughts here from Psalm 100, Brother Hiltz's favorite psalm. Look at these verses, and I want you to see some things that I believe were indicative. These were characteristic of the psalmist who wrote this. These same characteristics would be the desire of his heart for those that read the psalm. But I believe all these things were true of Brother Hiltz. You know, when you come to love a passage of Scripture, that Scripture becomes you. It has such a profound impact and influence in your life. This is why we need to meditate on it and memorize it and love the Word of God and let it underline our hearts and lives as it did with Brother Hiltz. The first thing that I want you to see, and I notice about Brother Hiltz, was that he was a glad person. Verse 1-2, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Brother Hiltz always had that 1,000-watt smile about him. I mean, he just had a way to light up a room. Now, I know when Brother Hiltz was ushered into heaven, heaven won't get any brighter because any one of us are ushered into heaven. But I'll guarantee you, Brother Hiltz hasn't lost any polish off that smile. I'll guarantee you one thing, he hadn't lost any of his joy. It's just been magnified many times. Brother Hiltz is known for gladness, and I believe that's something that we as Christian people ought to be known for. We ought to have a heart that rejoices. We ought to have a heart that's glad. And we're excited when we're in the house of God. We're happy to be around God's people. And we love to fellowship around the Word of God. Dr. Hiltz was a glad person. But I want you to also see in verse number 3, the psalmist said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And I would say this, that we ought to be known as genuine people. Dr. Hiltz was genuine. And what I see in that genuine character in this verse is the humility. Brother Hiltz was a humble man. You know, the greatest leader in all the Bible, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, was likely Moses. And what the Bible say of Moses? Moses was meek above all men. In the earth, he was a humble man. You know, Brother Hiltz, if you would praise him, if you'd bring him up on a platform and to your church congregation and say, now here's Brother Hiltz, and we're so thankful for Brother Hiltz, and he's a great man and a great man of faith and a man of prayer, and we love him, Brother Hiltz would be so moved in his humility that tears would be rolling down his cheek. Why? Because he was just that genuine. He wanted to reflect and deflect all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't in it for himself. You know, I referred earlier to how he referred to me at times. He'd introduce me to other men, missionaries, other pastors along the way, other folks, and he'd proudly say, this is my pastor. And I feel like, Brother Hiltz, I don't feel like I'm worthy to be called your pastor. But he'd say, this is my pastor. And yet, you know, I've known other individuals, even members of my church, that are far less the spiritual stature of Brother Hiltz were too proud to refer to me as their pastor. You know, it says a lot about the character of this man. He was genuine. Even after the event surrounding his wife's sickness and her ultimate passing. And I know for that last year, before the Lord took Brother Bill home, he missed Joan something fierce. He loved her. She was his best friend. And in moments of just being genuine and open with me, I remember one moment standing on the porch of the home on our Ninth Line property, there where we had the church offices. And Brother Hiltz said, "Pastor, you got to pray for me. I've been feeling depressed." I mean, he was that humble a man that he would admit some of his human weakness and that frailty in that moment. And of course, we prayed together. But I appreciate that so much about Brother Hiltz. He was not only glad, a joyful heart, but he was a genuine person. He was a genuine individual. But the psalmist also goes on in verse number 4 to indicate that we ought to be grateful. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." And Brother Hiltz was just that. He was a grateful individual, both he and Joan, always expressing thanks, sometimes for even the smallest expressions of generosity. Brother Hiltz was a thankful individual, and that thankfulness, by the way, was contagious. You know, if you were to visit our church, Mississauga International Baptist Church, and by the way, I invite you to all come up and visit. Now, I've been here, haven't I? So you return the favor and come up and visit us. Don't all come on the same Sunday, all right? But come on up and visit us sometime. If you get to know our folks, you find a little bit of that infectious thankfulness that characterized Brother and Mrs. Hiltz. And that's just a part of who we are as a church family. I know Brother Hiltz is with the Lord, and I'm not trying to be spooky in any way about this, but through the influence that he's left, he's still there. He hadn't left. He was a grateful man. But not only was Brother Hiltz, as this psalmist, glad and genuine and grateful, I want you to see in verse 5 that he was generational in his thinking. The psalm concludes this way, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." He was generational in his thinking. I challenge you to do a little study sometime. Take that word generation or generations, the plural of it, and just research that through the book of Psalms. And you would be amazed at the dozens, I mean scores of times, that word generation, generations is mentioned there. And I believe David certainly was generational in his thinking. He was not only interested in his own generation, but those to follow, that of his son and his grandsons and his grandchildren and the future generations. And you know, a man of God, a woman of God, should be generational in their thinking. We're not just in it for ourselves, amen? We're not just in it for today, but what we want to do is build something for God that will last. We want to leave a legacy, a spiritual legacy, to our children and to our children's children. And I believe Brother Hiltz did that in so many ways. You know, one of the evidences to me that Brother Hiltz was generational in his thinking is his dedicated devotion and interest in Christian education. And you saw it here firsthand. I mean, he was involved in it. Before the time came that he was down here in Florida, in some of the earlier churches that he pastored up in Canada, Christian school was part of the program. Interested in the coming generations. That could be seen on a weekly basis in our services too. You know, Brother Hiltz, he had that infectious happiness that I described earlier, and he loved to be around people. And if you met him and spoke to him for any length of time, you felt honestly like he was interested in you. He was glad to see you. He took a personal attention to your life and what was going on in that. And that was not only true with his own peers, those that were in his age set, those that were in his career path, as it were, those that he had the most in common with. That was true of all folks. I saw him reach out to our teenagers, and they loved Dr. Hiltz. After Brother Hiltz passed, so many of our teenagers stood up and gave testimony of what Brother Hiltz meant to them. And why is that? Because he was generational in his thinking. I often heard him, I said Psalm 100 was one of his favorites. I often also heard him quote Psalm 71 and verse 18. Let me just read it for you. Actually, back up and read verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know, Brother Hiltz was a great storyteller, and he could regale you with stories of men and movements and generations past. And so he had his hand back there in the past, but he was passing something forward to the future. And you know, that was Psalm 71:18 was a desire of his heart, and by God's grace, he saw that fulfilled. He was generational in his thinking. You know, Brother Hiltz was there back in March of last year when on that 2-acre piece of property where we thought we would build Dr. Hiltz always referred to as the Baptist meeting house. We're praying for a Baptist meeting house. I love that terminology. And Brother Hiltz was there on that day. We turned sod. We were ready to go in the ground. We were ready to build there. And that day would not have been complete without Brother Hiltz taking that shovel, taking that spade, and turning some sod himself. He prayed the dedicatory prayer on that property. Little did we know at that time that just 2 months later, the Lord would take Brother Hiltz to himself. I don't know if you've all heard the way it happened, but the date of his passing has been marked as May the 19th of 2012, because that's when they found him in the house. But the best that we can tell, he went to bed and pillowed his head on a Wednesday night after attending Bible study and prayer meeting. They found him in his bed, covers tucked up around his chin. That was just his body, though. He was gone. Now, you know what? For a saint of God, for a man who loved God and loved his word and loved his people like Brother Hiltz did, I can't think of a more fitting way to go out into eternity. I mean, how good does it get? It doesn't get any better than this. To pillow your head at night and wake up with Jesus. That was Brother Hilt's legacy. Went in his sleep like that. And you know, I talk about the generational thinking of Brother Hiltz. One more story I'll share with you before I'm through. Brother Hiltz was really a kid at heart. In 2001, Brother Hiltz and myself and Stan Camps, missionary that we've sent out of our church to the Netherlands. By the way, you need to be praying. I don't know if you know Brother Camps down here, But you need to be praying for the Camps family, Stan and Brenda. They've been in the Netherlands since the year 2002, I believe it is. And so 11 years. Everyone that has come or has been there to partner with them and work with them, Europe's a hard field, hard fields in Europe. Not a lot of missionaries there. Everyone that they've had to work with has since left. But since the age of 17, Stan has had a young man coming to the field by the name of Joel Michelle. And Joel Michelle, just this past fall, went to the Netherlands under BIMI and was going to come alongside of the Camps and work with them. And this past Tuesday, early in the afternoon, Joel Michelle at the Netherlands and Belgium border, alone in his vehicle, struck a semi-truck and instantly went out into eternity. So the whole Michelle family leaves a wife and three young children. They'll be coming back to Canada. But Stan and Brenda will be there alone. So I encourage you, if you think about their names, pray for them. Lift them up to the throne of grace. Anyway, the three of us and one other pastor, we were there in the Netherlands in 2001. And we had some great time. Brother Hiltz, as I said, was a kid at heart. Remember walking into a museum in Amsterdam. It was a museum that had artifacts from the Inquisition days. And as we entered that museum, Brother Hiltz looked around and he said to the proprietor, he said, "I notice you don't have a special rate for seniors." And he said, "No, that's right." He said, "Well, I notice a little further down you have a discount for children." And he says, "I'm in my second childhood." And he was, in a lot of ways. And you know what? They let him in for the discount. And those are just some of the things I remember about Brother Hiltz. Just a great man of faith, a great man of prayer. And I thank you. Thank you, Pastor Carter, for the opportunity to share.